Station 13, Hard Water. Schneider Creek opens up here, gives itself over to the Willow River, La Grande Rivière, and its deeper, wider, more strident flow. Under the bridge, whirlpools form beneath the concrete outflow basin, speaking their own burbling, foaming language that turns back in order to spill forward. There is energy in this final spiraling, the current picking up and leaving behind gravel, sticks, rolled snow fences, sometimes entire trees. When I walked the length of Schneider Creek in March, during the warmest week of snowmelt following that long cold winter, the whole mouth of the creek and the trees surrounding it was underwater. A great surfeit of meltwater was held back by log jams and ice floes bobbing out in the ground like small clouds sailing south. This is an object lesson in what naturalized sections of the creek could look like. On either side of the concrete bridge and its underlying supports, there are banks of grass and trees, space for the creek to breathe, to flow and swell and recede as it needs to. These are pliant boundaries which require us to be accepting of these changes rather than seeking to control them. These urban riverine spaces won't always be tidy parkland. As water levels rise and fall, plants live and die, paths turn muddy or get washed out entirely. As Erica Geese notes, in water always wins. In returning space to water near our homes and businesses through naturalization projects, we can foster a dynamic environment that can more flexibly respond to change. Ensuring the creek is healthier helps us be safer, to be sure. But making these changes along the creek also suggests the potential for us to be more flexible in our approach to living in the world as well. This is an opportunity to understand that we are not separate from the natural world around us. Our lives and our actions, big and small, have meaning and impact. We have the capacity to make choices that can help mitigate past harms and be more actively responsible for the impacts of our actions from now on. The messy aesthetics of seasonal flooding offers a good reminder that we need to learn to accommodate ourselves to the perfectly imperfect and wilder parts of existence, that we are a part of it. That's where renewal lies. We also need to commit ourselves to care of this creek and the banks of the river as beacons of hope.
Something shifts in me when I think of the creek as one long, continuous, sinewy animal, blessedly still alive, still coursing, despite 2 centuries of our efforts to contain it, in spite of all the road salt and refuse we subject it to. This river was born, and this river lives on, is alive. Métis scholar Michelle Murphy's concept of alter life offers a helpful way to think about a shared future with Schneider Creek as a neighbor and companion. Murphy writes that alter life names life already altered, which is also life open to alteration. So many of us are turning anew to this ancient body of water, re-remembering what we've been taught to ignore. Ellie Anglin, Kitchener's artist in residence, recently published a beautifully collaged and collaborative ode to the water in our city. Called Ribbon, the zine features the work of over 30 other local artists who are thinking about the ways water moves in their lives, the many ways that water means. Halfway through Ribbon, Anglin reproduces hydrogeologist Steve Shikazi's lustrous, almost neon map of the Grand River watershed. The Willow River, Ose Gunyanhadaje in Mohawk, shows up as a kind of illuminated X-ray. All her fibrous, dendritic creeks and tributaries and wide arterial rivers lined blue against a black backdrop. It looks like a lung. For Anglin, the spidering veins of the watershed remind her of what a possible map might look like if she could trace out the anatomy of a community of care and connection. Another way of saying no one is an island is to say we're all in the water. We're made of water, we drink water, we wash with water, we drain water through our bodies. All of it flows in and through us, down through the altar life of this creek, or through the wastewater treatment plant just over the hill. Down through the great basins of the lakes, through the Niagara's tumultuous cascade, through the long fleuve Saint Laurent on to the Atlantic Ocean and the deep thermohaline circulations of the Gulf Stream. Water is weather-making, world-making. Understanding this means that water can, in turn, teach us about our interconnectedness with every other place and person on this planet. Water pliantly reminds us of our responsibilities to others downstream, and our dependency on others' use of water. This is a knowledge that can help us to resist division, remind us to flow. Last fall, I came down below this bridge with my son and some friends from the Creek Collective. We were gathering up human and natural objects from the detritus of the river. We were using these found objects for a mobile making workshop at a local school. And while we pulled thin slat boards from an old world snow fence, a great blue heron lifted its yellow-orange beak from the stream. Shalaka tapped my shoulder, said shh. And we all turned, watched the bird step through the shallows. We watched the bird moving through her own time frame, living into blue, heroning in the water. At some point, we stopped looking, went back to the task of pulling apart the snow fence. And when I next lifted my eyes, the heron was gone, gone in some soundless lifting, its birdbone wings weightless over the water and away.